2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of sharing from God's Word here at the chapel, and I shared from the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. If you remember, you were here. I started that message by asking, because all the boys and girls were here, what do you do in your house when you hear a knock at the door? And we had lots of fun responses. Everything from hoping that it's a man bringing cheese pizza. I had several others come up to me after that message and confess to me some things that happens in their house when there's a knock at the door, such as a quick scramble to clean off the countertops. One farmer confessed he sometimes has to scramble to find his pants because he left the dirty ones at the door. I'd like to take it a step further this morning in this message. We hear a knock at the door. Perhaps it's a stranger, perhaps it's a guest, perhaps it's someone that we are looking forward to having come. How do we set the table? How do we arrange our home in a way that's inviting? And in this passage in Revelation, this is certainly the invitation of the Lord, as he knocks on the door of our hearts and we open our door to him, what kind of a welcome do we give him? I'd like to share this message this morning by using an illustration that perhaps many have seen in the past. I want to just use it as a review again, that as we invite Jesus into our home, there might be three specific chairs that we set in terms of how we relate to him, how we open our hearts to him. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter from prison, writing back to the Christians in Corinth, as they are experiencing some challenges and some difficulties in their faith and in their expression of that amongst one another. There's a variety of things, but chief among them are some sectarian views where they are choosing sides and different speakers, different apostles that they have favor with and follow. There was also sexual sin that was happening in the church there. But Paul writes this letter to them to help them find their balance and their surrender to the Lord. So I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is writing to these believers, and he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of man which is in him?" Basically, it's saying, only you know exactly what your thoughts are. Only you know what your inner thoughts are. "Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." The Spirit of God knows exactly what God is thinking. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, when I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So I'd like to just talk about three kinds of people in the earth, in the world, and they are portrayed here in this passage of Scripture. And we want to start off with what Paul refers to as the natural man, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So in my illustration here this morning, and for those who will be listening to this perhaps just over the audio in the future, I've got three chairs here on the platform, and these chairs represent three different kinds of people. And we will find ourselves, every single one of us, occupying one of these three chairs, and perhaps back and forth a bit sometimes. But the first one that's referred to here is this chair that we will call the natural man. The man and the woman who is not born of the Spirit of God. Human beings who are living life not in tune with God and not aware of his presence, not aware of his Spirit working in their hearts and lives. And so for the natural man, the person who is alienated from God, the Scriptures say, they live life entirely trying to gain their happiness, their joy, their peace, their success from the things that are around them in the world. Generally looking for good experiences, good relationships, affirmation, all of these different things, trying to find a way in life to meet their personal needs. But the Scriptures tell us here that this human spirit, this natural man, is blind to God, and certainly Scripture tells us that even the demonic realm wants to keep that blindness going. For the God of this age has blinded the eyes of the natural man, so they cannot see and understand the love of God for their hearts and their lives. Scriptures tell us, and there's lots in the Word of God about this, that their spirit is dead to God. Now, you might be here this morning, listening to this message, and what you just experienced in terms of the worship and the praise and people singing from their hearts unto the Lord, this might be a new thing to you. Part of it might be because you don't understand or haven't perceived and sensed God's Spirit at work in your life. And so, the natural man is described in Scripture in a number of different ways. So take your Bibles, and I want you to focus on Ephesians chapter 2. As we look at some descriptions of this natural man and the challenges that they find. The natural man or woman, feels that they want to be and need to be in control of their lives, but in reality, they're anything but in control, as portrayed here and taught in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So just some descriptions here for you concerning the condition of the natural man. Number one, they are dead in trespasses and sins, dead to God. One of the One of the concepts in our world today is that human beings are generally good. They are good on the inside, and if they are experiencing or living out things that are not good, it's because their surroundings are negative. Their circumstances are negative. The culture is negative, but people are good on the inside. But Scripture tells us clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So one of the basic premises of a Bible-believing person is we understand that the natural man is not good on the inside, but we have inherited from Adam's sin, a nature that is bent against God and that is dead to God, dead in trespasses and sins. Furthermore, rather than being in control, the Apostle Paul says here, we walk according to the course of this world. We actually are being steered by a thinking and a mentality that is not turning us to God, but away from God. Furthermore, we walk according to the prince of the power of the air, which refers to Satan. There is a whole spiritual demonic realm that steers people's thoughts and attitudes and hungers and so on away from God and into things that actually get more and more control. People exercise what they think is their freedom to indulge in things that bring them joy, but in the end they wind up being snared by them more and more and caught by them, less and less in control, more and more controlled by addictions and so on. But furthermore, verse 3, we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. Our flesh nature, our appetites, our desires can control us and steer us. So the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and by our own appetites and desires. And lastly, it says, and we are by nature children of wrath. For the natural man, alienated from God, there will come a day when we will all have to be held accountable for our sin and pay the penalty for our sin against God's holiness, which will be being cast into hell, to eternal punishment, whereby we will be separated from God forever and ever. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, you see a little bit further this description here. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Everyone sitting in this chair of the natural man lives this out in their own unique way. Trying to make life work, trying to find happiness, trying to find joy, trying to find peace. Everyone has a natural appetite for pleasure and for security. And we try to find it in many, many, many different ways. Some people find that in success, in money, in possessions, in fame, in influence, in power, trying to make life work. Perhaps it's in, you know, accumulating possessions or going on fancy vacations or having a big elaborate house. But it's coming out of an emptiness of the heart that's trying to be filled by something else. We're finding increasingly, though, that this natural man, not being able to perhaps succeed in any one of those various things, then slips into depression, discouragement, and despair. And there, then, the natural man needs to numb the pain and the trauma of what they're experiencing in life that's not working. And we see this happening all around us. Everything all the way from nicotine to alcohol to marijuana to all of these different things, ways to numb the pain of life not working. But it all comes from the fact that we are alienated from the life of God. We aren't in touch with His Spirit, with His truth, with His forgiveness and His love. Okay? The natural man. Back to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As Paul is addressing the Corinthians, he knows, though, that they are not natural anymore. They have accepted Christ as their Savior. He starts off the letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he's writing to the church in verse 2 that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord. In verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, and so on. So here he is writing to Christians. But in chapter 3, as he's dealing with some of the challenges in their lives, he says, I could not write to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So the natural man comes to understand by God's grace that we are sinners, that we're not good on the inside, and that if we continue to follow the course of our own choices and decisions, we will ultimately lead to disappointment, but we will also ultimately have to stand before God to give an account for our lives and for the sin and our rebellion against him. But by God's grace, we come to understand that Jesus has taken our place on the cross. Jesus has paid the penalty for our sin so that God is now legally free to bless us and to save us and to forgive us and make us his child. And so we move from the chair of the natural man into this chair of being a born-again Christian, of knowing that we have the gift of eternal life, of knowing that we will one day stand with the Lord in heaven, and of knowing that he loves us and cares for us. However, just making the transition from the chair of the natural man to this babe in Christ, we do not shed everything that we held to and used and lived by in the natural man's chair. We actually still bring a lot of it with us. We bring a lot of our attitudes, a lot of our approaches to life, a lot of the ways we try to cope with life. We may turn to the Lord for his mercy and grace for forgiveness, but we still want to be in control. We want to be in control. One of the ways that we demonstrate that we're in control is we still are very frustrated by situations around us that don't go our way. Things that cause us conflict, anxiety, depression, discouragement. We might be angry about things. We might be bitter about things. Yes, we know we are saved. We're children of the Lord. But things still bother us so badly at times and make us easily upset. This plays out in a number of different ways. But one of the things that the Apostle Paul is addressing here in this letter to the Corinthians is the illustration that though we are saved, we are still babes in Christ, and that as babes in Christ, we are not able to receive solid food. Right now, our grandchildren over in Norway, as well as a number of the children that are here, they're just at the age of starting to take in solid food. And our great little granddaughter, she's 6, 7 months old now, she has a ravenous appetite and is always wanting to eat. But she can't eat real solid food yet. They, of course, have to mash it up and make, moms, you know all about that. Some of you dads do. But you have to mash it up so that the baby can digest it and actually use it wisely. Well, what Paul is saying here to these babes in Christ, to what he calls carnal, is that, yes, you are saved, but you can't digest solid food yet. You can't digest the things that God wants to show you and teach you. Turn with me in Hebrews chapter 5, and you see another reference to this kind of a person. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, the natural man, as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, thinks that things that are spiritual, they can't understand it because they are foolishness. The natural man hears, perhaps, teaching from God's word and listens to it, but it makes no sense. The word foolishness means wildly unrealistic. Wildly unrealistic. The natural man thinks about what Christians do, let alone what they believe, and they think it's wildly unrealistic. For instance, last weekend, Gail and I went camping with a couple from the church here, and we had reserved spots for the weekend, but we needed to get back to Westlock here by early afternoon on Sunday. And so we left our camping spot Sunday morning, last Sunday. We skipped the church. We left our camping spot, and we came to Westlock here. I dropped Gail off about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I drove down the highway here with my truck and trailer to go empty the tanks in my trailer at shortly after 11 o'clock in the morning. I have never driven through Westlock on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning. But to my amazement, I saw Westlock is busy. There were people driving around there. There was lots of activity on a Sunday morning. But they weren't giving any consideration to what was going on in the churches where people were worshiping God and hearing God's word. The thought of them of getting up early in the morning and taking a shower and coming to church on a Sunday morning, that's bizarre. Now, I saw lots of them up and early and ready to go to play ball. But the things of God are wildly unrealistic for the natural man. However, for those of us who are babes in Christ, there are still many things about the truth of the Lord and the Word of God that still seem unrealistic to us. We will trust the Lord for what we need, maybe what we need to get by with in life, what we need to cope with our problems and our issues. But the Lord is saying there's so much more. There's so much more. Paul was saying there's so much more. But you're still babes. We have sometimes considered that the meat of the word are the depths of the word of God and of the scripture taught in a very clear way, maybe understanding some of the original language in the Greek and the Hebrew, maybe with good outlines, maybe with good exegetical preaching through the verses of scripture, and we say, oh, that's the meat of the word. But I'd like to suggest to you that that's only part of the idea of what the meat of the word is. The meat of the word is, yes, the word of God, but it's whether we're able to actually chew it, digest it, and live it out in our lives. That's the meat of the word. You could give a baby a bone, and would they chew on it? Probably. But would they actually digest it and use it? Very little. Brothers and sisters, I am finding in my life, and I think all of us can identify with this, that we often find ourselves sitting in this center chair, knowing that there might be more that the Lord has for us, but oh, it's hard to digest it because it calls us to live deeper in the Lord, fuller in Him, trusting Him, obeying Him, and walking with Him. And so, the Apostle Paul then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, really wants the Corinthians and all of us to realize that we're invited to be spiritual men and women, able to understand what the Spirit of God is saying to us, and being able to digest it and live it in our lives. And so as I started reading this passage before, I want you to turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he really talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's begin in verse 10 again. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And so if you're listening to this message later, I'm now moving to this third chair. And the third chair represents, of course, the spiritual man. Someone who is willing and able to let God speak to our hearts and teach us the deeper things of the truth of His Word by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It takes more than just good teachers. It takes understanding and listening to the Holy Spirit guiding us, leading us, shaping us, and molding us. So the spiritual man is hungry for the meat of the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the deep things of God. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit, as He fills us and supplies us, becomes the very means by which we then are able to bless the world around us. Go back to the beginning of chapter 2. Paul said, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Brothers and sisters, you may notice, but we are deliberately inviting the Holy Spirit to come as we worship here on Sunday mornings. Even as some of us meet earlier in the morning, and as I come first thing in the Sunday morning, I deliberately pray, "Lord, come, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, be amongst us." For it is God's Spirit that is going to make all the difference in our lives. As we worship, as we live, the Holy Spirit helps us understand and digest the meat and to live it out in our lives. And so, we're encouraged and invited in Scripture to not just live in the Spirit, but to walk in the Spirit, to give up being in control ourselves, and to allow God to lead us and guide us as we follow Him and serve Him. So as I conclude this message this morning on these three simple chairs, I want to go back to my opening question. How do we set the table? How do we arrange the chairs in our home when Jesus comes knocking at the door? The natural man, the natural woman, probably does not even hear and recognize the knocking of Jesus on the door of their heart, because they got places to go, things to do, things to be involved with, and so on. We're too preoccupied, too distracted in our lives. We don't even consider the realm of God's presence, of His authority, of His teaching for our lives. We oppose God because He stands in clear contrast to our selfish choices and appetites. The things that we love to indulge in oftentimes are the things He's told us to avoid. And so when Jesus comes knocking at the door, we close the curtains. We don't want Him. Jesus is not welcome in the home, in the heart of a natural man. But what about the carnal believer, the babe in Christ? Well, I heard Jesus knocking on the door of my heart when I was a child. I heard Jesus knocking on the door of my heart when I was in Sunday school, probably 4 or 5 years old, as my Sunday school teacher told me about Jesus dying on the cross for my sin. And I turned to Christ. I accepted Christ as my Savior as a young boy. And I've lived my whole life knowing that Jesus loves me and cares about me. If you are here this morning and you have been living the life of the natural man, can I encourage you? Hear the voice of Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. Surrender to Christ. Give Him your life and let Him in. However, we must become more than just people who trust in the Sunday school Jesus, because Jesus and the presence of His Spirit have so much more for us to live our lives and to follow Him. Now, I got to be honest. Though I've accepted Christ as my Savior and He's forgiven me of my sin, as many of you can also testify, we've continued on in life and matured often in ways and means of still trying to find comfort and pleasure and even distraction in the things that our secular culture offers us. We occasionally consider the spiritual realm around us, and yet in the deeper understanding of the things of the kingdom of God on earth, we still sometimes shy away. We have busyness. We don't often take and focus on the Lord. Yes, we hear Jesus knocking, in our troubles, in our trials, in our distresses, and from time to time we do let him in, we do let him come, we do let him guide us and lead us. But often when we invite Jesus in, we invite him in when it's convenient, when it works for my schedule. How many of you have ever had a guest in your house? Came unexpected. They're sitting at your table, drinking your coffee and eating your cookies, and you're pretending that they're welcome. But I have something to do at 7 o'clock. I gotta be gone by 7 o'clock. Ah. You see, that really is this notion of entertaining a guest, but having our own agenda and our timeline we still want to follow, we still want to press in with. I've done this so much, folks. We've done this so much. But the Spirit of God comes and he invites us to really trust him and look to him. So how does the spiritual man respond when we hear Jesus knocking at the door? I hear Jesus knocking in every detail of life. The Spirit of Jesus is frequently arresting my thinking process, my attention, and trying to get me to listen and to hear to him. I let Jesus into my home and into my life. And when we hear his knocking and open the door, we let him in into every area of our lives. We let him into every area of our homes, into every aspect of our lives. Oh, we let him into every room. We invite him to check every closet. We even invite him to go down into the basement. And when he comes in, he wants to set us free, to heal us, to clear out the clutter and the decay and the garbage and the pain and the trauma and the things that have upset us, the things that have kept us in bondage and in control, to all the things that we had so hoped were going to give us peace and hope. He wants to come and set us free from all these things. But there's one key thing I want you to realize about this third chair, the chair of the spiritual man. We never sit in this chair. We bow. We bow before the Lord. He is the one who occupies this chair in our lives. And everything in our life is oriented about bowing to the Lord Jesus, about letting him be Lord of every area of our lives. And we bring to him our pain, our trauma, our sorrows, our disappointments. And we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us the truth of Jesus, the truth of his forgiveness, his healing, his life. But even deeper than that, we bow to his direction for our lives, what he would want us to do. One of the big transitions of going from the chair of the carnal man to the chair of the spiritual man is we give up planning our life out. We give out having schemes and considerations and plans that we hope will succeed for a happy life. And instead we bow before the Lord and we follow his direction, his commands for us. We make the switch from plans to commands. And the Lord says to us, be not drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The Lord says to us, go and make disciples of all nations. The Lord says to us, be salt and light. But we go, how can I do that? I can't do that. I can't do that. But what does the Lord say to us as a spiritual man? Just bow before me. Bow before me. Let me be your source. Let me be your supply. Let me be the one that you can trust in over and over and over again, because I have a plan for your life that will only be discovered in your obedience to what I have commanded you to do. And you will find a joy and a peace and a rest that nothing in the world can ever offer. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I just want to encourage you with all my heart, even as I'm encouraging myself. I just believe that the Holy Spirit is inviting every one of us to go deeper in him, and we do it on our knees in humble surrender, humble obedience, and in the absolute certainty that the Holy Spirit is going to come and be what we need every day, every moment. I don't know what the days ahead are going to look like, or even how this year is going to finish off. We certainly know there's a number of things that are causing great unrest in the world. I don't know whether there's going to be another pandemic and all the things that could come with that. But I do know this, that the only way we're truly going to be able to thrive and be a witness for the Lord is when we consciously choose to move from the chair of the carnal Christian to the chair of being a spiritual man and woman, where everything in life is done on our knees before the Lord in surrender to Him. This is the way. As we sang that song, He is worthy, He is worthy, He is worthy. We trust Him. I'd like to ask the music team to come. And so this morning, there is nothing in your life that you cannot place before the Lord on your knees before Him. There is nothing in your life that you can't honestly ask the Lord for His presence to come into your need, into your helplessness, into your distress. And I want to share with you, as one of the elders and as our team of elders that are here this morning, I want to share with you that our heart's desire is that you would turn to Christ for everything in your life, surrendering to Him. In fact, our heart's desire is that at the chapel here, as you come on Sunday mornings, that this would increasingly be a place where we not just worship with all of our hearts, but we're also very free and very readily willing to come and to submit to the Lord, and to even have someone pray for us, to pray together, to trust the Lord, to call upon Him. My last point in this message, back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And in the context of that passage, Jesus is knocking at the door of the church. We often look at it from the context of individuals, but the truth is, in context, Revelation 3, He's knocking at the door of the church. I would like to take a moment here in conclusion and invite the Holy Spirit to come even more into this church, into this fellowship of believers, to come and dine with us, and us with Him, to have His way in our lives. So can you stand with me, and let's pray together. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that through Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, His burial and resurrection, we can come to You, Lord God, for forgiveness, for cleansing, and for renewal. But I'm also thankful, O Father God, that we can come to You for, Lord, the presence of the Spirit of Jesus to inhabit our hearts and lives. And Lord, this morning, as we stand here as a congregation of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, our heart's desire is to move from the natural man, Lord, to accepting Christ as our Savior, but not staying as a babe in Christ, but to, Lord, being spiritually mature, able to digest the meat of the Word, able to obey and live and follow You, Lord, in the Spirit of God. But Lord, in context of Revelation, I also ask now, Lord, that You will come and have even greater freedom here in this chapel and in this gathering of saints. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. Come and teach us, come and speak to us, come and guide us, come and lead us. And Father God, I ask that here at the chapel, we could, Lord God, increasingly find ourselves more and more free, more and more readily willing and able to, Lord, pray for one another, to bless one another in the Spirit as spiritually mature men and women, and to, Lord God, speak of the things that are of meat in the Lord, so that we can all live for Your honor and Your glory. Lord, what a joy it is to know Jesus. What a joy it is to have the assurance of Christ in our hearts. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Lord, I am thankful that, Lord, you're in control and we're trusting you in these days. And it's all for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing that song of celebration this morning. And then I want to encourage you, again, if you have a need in your life, something that is just too big for you, in fact, anything, please, please let us be spiritual men and women, opening our hearts to the Lord entirely in our lives. Let's sing this in celebration.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
So this morning, may you be blessed. May the Holy Spirit guide and lead you this week. May you find yourself increasingly recognizing that you can bow before the Lord and wait on Him, and He will guide you, lead you, and supply your need. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, please don't leave this place without coming. Coming and talking to one of us, praying together, you can receive Christ, that you can be born again of the Spirit. And then keep growing, growing to follow Him. So God bless each one of you. Have a wonderful day, wonderful week. And let us enjoy the goodness of the Lord each day. Praise the Lord.